Welcome to the Nunchucks and Ponytails podcast. I'm your host, Lisa Mahaffey. Join me as I share real-life stories about all things mom, kids, relationships, and family. Mix in some tears, a few curse words, and a whole lot of laughter, and we have us a show. So get comfy, grab a drink, and let's get talking. Hey everybody, welcome back. Thank you so much for coming back for another episode of Nunchucks and Ponytails. Holy crap, I cannot even believe that it is already time for another episode, because truly this week has just fucking flown by. First of all, it really did honestly kind of take me a couple of days to sort of recover from last week's episode. Like I said, it was something that, you know, when I had decided that I wanted to do the podcast in general, it was something that I knew that I wanted to talk about. I knew that I wanted it to, like I said, be that flagship episode for me. But there was a lot of things that I said in that episode that I hadn't said out loud. These are all things that have sort of always been in my head. Some of the things were realizations that happened sort of in the moment, and it was very emotional and it was very surprising, but it was very healing as well. Because I can tell you this last week, I mean, things as far as life is concerned hasn't gotten any less, you know, stressful or busy or anything like that. But I can tell you the difference in the way that I have felt this week versus most other weeks is I feel lighter. I feel less angry. I feel less hurt, which isn't to say that those feelings have gone away. It's just that they're not so close to the surface that they're ready to boil over at any moment. It's like I've acknowledged them. I've felt them. I've, you know, really sort of explored them more than I have in almost 9 years. So all in all, I actually feel really fantastic. And then you throw into the mix that it's just been one of those crazy weeks. So on Monday, Tate had his next belt testing for karate. So it was a level up. He was testing for his blue belt, which for any that may be keeping track or that, you know, already know, that leaves us 4 more belt colors before he actually starts in for his black belt, his first degree black belt. So, I mean, this kid has only been in karate for, this fall will be 2 years. Like, he has busted ass in every which way, and the confidence that he has gained and the self-respect as well as respect for like his instructors and stuff. And honestly, most of the time that does trickle out everywhere else, because his dojo is extremely firm on how important it is. It's not enough to just sort of have that discipline and everything within classes, but it has to be sort of this trifecta where it's everywhere. It's in the classroom, it's at school, it's at home, you know, it's just, it's everywhere. So it's been really amazing for him. So anyways, his test went incredible. Not only did he pass and receive his blue belt, his instructor said that by far that was hands down the best testing that Tate has done to date. Further to that, in the test, part of what they did was they did board breaks, which up until this point, they've always used boards that are basically what they are is plastic boards that sort of fit together, almost like combs of a teeth type thing, or cogs in a clock as they're going through. So they fit together like that. And they are thicker and more tightly woven together, I guess, if you will. I don't quite know how to explain it. I can visualize it. I can see it from the days when we were still able to watch. But each color was more difficult for the kids to be able to, you know, break the board. So these have been their practice thing. But for their test, they actually had planks of wood. And one of the most exciting things, and honestly, oh my gosh, I was that mom. Tate came out with this big shitty grin on his face. He had his certificate. He had, his instructor had accompanied him. And, we got the belt. We got the certificate. In addition, they gave the kids, because they've leveled up so quickly and they've done so well and so focused, that they gave each of the kids a gift from the dojo. And on top of that, the actual board that Tate broke, he received the two pieces, which included, they had written on the plank, blue belt exam, and then the date, and then they had signed it. So it was just, and I 100% was that mom that when they came out and they told me about it and they showed me the belt, showed me the certificate, and then the board, oh my gosh, yeah, totally teared up. And I was just like over the moon. It was such a cool moment. So that was on Monday. And then today, cause I usually record things on Wednesday nights and, upload everything for Thursday mornings. So today is actually Wednesday and, it was pink shirt day at school, and the local news station had actually gone to Tate's elementary school. And I received an email today, this afternoon, from his principal. And I was like, oh, fuck, really? I don't mean to be that mom, but it was like, what the fuck? But as it turns out, it was an email that the principal had sent out to all of the parents that the news station had filmed and spoken with so that they could watch for their kids on tonight's newscast. So I'm thinking that would be really exciting if we could actually see Tate. Well, the news starts and they start doing their overview of, you know, tonight's top stories and whatnot. And there's Tate and one of his classmates that are up sort of at the little write-up and stuff, the introduction to what the story was going to be right at the beginning of the news. And then when they actually did the segment, Tate was actually interviewed. So needless to say, I'm madly, you know, trying to get copies of this sent to, you know, his dad and his aunts and his grandparents and just sort of all of this, you know, and bragged hard on that little boy. So it was pretty cool. And when we watched and Tate saw himself, he's like, oh my God, there I am. So it was extremely cool. So yeah, there's just been a lot of really positive things this weekend that just passed. The kids and I, on Saturday, we went to the park and we started off at one park and then walked down to the duck pond, which was frozen over, and there was a bunch of people playing pond hockey, which was very cool. And then we sort of walked further down the trail to one of the elementary schools and the kids played there. And then on Sunday morning, I took the kids on a hike. And they both did round trip. The hike was 3.6 kilometers. And even that little three-year-old girl and her tiny little legs, they didn't give up for nothing. So way too much fun. We had a lot of good times this weekend. Just everything's different. Everything's already feeling different. So it's good. So anyways, this week has just flown by. All of that long-winded has basically been to just say, you know, that this week has gone by, lots has happened, feeling really good, lots of really positive things that are going on for us and changing for us, which is something that I couldn't be more thrilled about. So I hope that you have all had a fantastic and amazing week and that there's been a lot of positivity and happiness and smiles and laughter, because that's always what I wish for you. And I'm very happy to say I had all of those things this last week. So anyways, that being said, let's move into today's episode, which is what happens when there is more money or more month than money. Yeah. That is my life currently. And if I'm going to be very real and very honest with myself, that has been my life for a long time. And it would be so easy for me to be like, oh yeah, you know, my ex was so bad with money and stuff, which he'll be the first to admit, he's not good with money. He's not. But I have come to realize that how do I put this? It's, I can't say that I'm not good with money, but I'm not good with money. what I am not good with is I am a people pleaser. I always want to make everything work. And I am also, or have also been that person that, you know, if somebody says to me, you know, like, hey, babe, let's go buy this. And I'm like, no, we're not going to go buy that. Are you crazy? And it's like, why? And then, you know, maybe there's some disappointment or there's some hurt or some, even, you know, maybe a little bit of anger or, you know, whatever. And I just kind of go, oh, fuck. Okay, well, if I don't pay this time, then we can still do that. And as long as we kind of keep things, you know, to a dull roar, we should be okay. Okay, let's go and do this. So it was like I completely lacked a backbone and a spine. Even though I would say no to begin with, I am the first one to now admit, because I have been doing a lot of deep reflection within. And that is one of the things that I can say about myself, is that it's not necessarily that I was bad with money, but I wasn't good with money because I lacked a backbone and I lacked a spine. I was very easily swayed, and it wasn't even with malicious intent. It was just quite simply like, you know, I mean, you know how it is. You want to get something and you're like, oh, I really want that. And you're bummed out when you're told that that's not going to work out. And so it's just sort of that. It's that knee-jerk reaction. It's that initial reaction. And as soon as I, you know, kind of got that feel or got that reaction, I was like, I've got to fix it because I'm a people pleaser. I'm a fixer. This is what I do. And so I find any means to do that, even if it means that, you know, you're robbing Peter to pay Paul. And then next thing you know, without even really realizing what's happened, because you've just sort of gotten into this pattern and had blinders on and, you know, maybe ignored the odd phone call and stuff that you received, you're like, oh, 1-800 number, not answering that, some bitch. next thing you know, you're starting to get nasty letters, and you're not only, you can't even rob Peter to pay Paul anymore, because Peter and Paul are both demanding some stuff. Meanwhile, John is pissed that you're starting to actually like skim off the top from him too. So, yeah. So I will say right now, the current financial situation that I am in, the debt that I carry, my portion of the family debt, I own. Without a doubt, I own, because it was poor decisions on my part or not standing my ground with decisions that I had made, that if I had stood my ground, they would have been much more responsible decisions. A desire to always want to make people happy and give them what they want. And then once things started to feel really desperate and such, to give up and just say, whatever, I'm already fucked. My credit's already fucked. We already have like nothing. So what's the difference for like another $50, or what's the difference for another $100? Right? It's so easy to just turn around and be like, well, whatever, you know, fucked anyways. So, and then it's like, you think, oh, well, you know, when I get child tax, then I'll just like pay this down a little bit. And, or when I get, you know, like, oh, I'm supposed to get that extra money on my paycheck from, you know, this. So that'll take care of it. Okay, well, that's already long gone. Even before you started thinking in your head, like, oh, I'll just use that money. No, no, sweetheart. That shit's already gone. That ship has sailed. You don't own that many money anymore. It's already gone. So, yeah. So currently, I, like I said, have a fair amount of, well, fuck it. I have a shit ton of debt that is my portion. And I have been feeling extremely panicked over the last month in particular, you know, basically since ending my relationship, because of the fact that I am down to a single income. And with that single income, I still have to support the entire household, two kids, one adult, two dogs that are both growing like bad weeds. One of them still needs to be neutered because we have to wait till he's 2 years old just because of the fact that we have a Great Dane. And we need to make sure that, you know, he's had full advantage of all of his growth hormones to make sure that he's got good, strong joints and tendons and all of that other fun stuff. And of course, his is going to be complicated, but it is what it is. So, and I'm doing this, like I said, on a single income. I just started a new job at the beginning of the year, which I don't regret at all. I love my new job, not only because it is something that I've been wanting to get into for a long time. It is something that I've tried to get into a number of times. But it is also, I'm no longer working from home, so it gets me out of the house. I have that sort of social interaction as far as adult conversations that take place on the regular because I'm not just at home. So, which for me is a really good thing. I have come to realize that I am not meant to be home. I'm just not. For so many reasons. I think it takes a very special type of person to be able to do that. And I don't necessarily just mean moms and stuff, because there's plenty of dads that are working from home and stuff right now too, and have been for a long time. But I think for myself and for who I am as a person and my personality and my needs as a person, I felt so socially isolated being at home, and that because my home was my workplace and I never had the opportunity to get away from that, the nature of my job was very solitary. So I really had next to no contact with not only clients, but also even really co-workers, just because that, again, is just the nature of the job that I was doing. So I felt that there were so many facets of myself that was really struggling. So I have come to realize that what I need, I cannot get by working from home. So for my mental health, for so many things, but my mental health alone, I am not built, I am not wired to be so socially isolated. I'm just not. So I don't regret that decision at all to take on this new job and to leave one that I've been at for a couple of years. But with that, I don't have benefits now until May. So that is a consideration. And I'm grateful that my ex has left not only the kids, but myself on his benefits, so that, you know, I have regular prescriptions that I take every day, as does my son. Well, both of my kids do. So I am very grateful that he did that, so that we're not totally hooped. And just Paige has had a couple of skin infections with her eczema, and I've had to put her on antibiotics. And without the coverage that I was able to get, the drug coverage with his plan, those two courses of antibiotics alone would have broke me, because that would have been $270 between the two courses. So yeah, I'm definitely grateful for that. And that was good, foresight on his part, because the beginning of February, he needed, you know, the company that he works for, once a year, they're able to make changes to their benefits. Unless, of course, there's a major life event, but everything kind of all happened around the same time anyways. So, but he still made the decision to do that, which was, you know, probably on the one hand, not an easy decision to make, but on the other, a really easy decision to make. I mean, I suspect, especially with where things were at that moment, the kids were probably not a difficult decision to make at all. Myself probably was a little bit more of a sore spot to consider. And I will give him props on that because I really appreciate that. And that's helped me considerably. But so nonetheless, though, I am definitely in a position where I have far more month than I do money. And so what do we do? What do we do when we're in this situation? I can sadly say that it's not the first time that I've been in a situation where, you know, my finances have gotten out of control due to poor decisions, and then just kind of giving up. But this time, it just feels like there's so much more at stake. And I've felt up until this last, you know, couple of weeks, I have felt a lot more panicked about it because of that. I mean, I have a house that I can't lose. I have two children that depend on me. And, you know, I need to make sure that I am providing them with adequate housing, clothing, food, like all of these things. And then of course the dogs, because none of them have asked to be here. These are all, you know, children and animals that I have brought into this life. So, you know, I don't give up on them. And so, you know, I will go without before any of them do. But, you know, like this is hard and it's scary. And this is honestly one of the scariest things that I've done because I can't afford to fail, but I can't afford not to pull my head out of my ass and fucking start doing some shit. And that is what I have done. So we're going to take a quick break. And then when we get back, we'll talk a little bit more about the things that I've done to try to dig my sorry behind out of this clusterfuck of a mess that I have played a large part in creating. So anyways, we will be right back. Okay, so we are back. So where do we go from here? What do we do? Well, I am going to tell you the things that I have been doing. First and foremost, I put my pride in my back pocket and I asked for help. I have asked for help from close and dear friends for short-term fire extinguishing, if you will, you know, just to try to put some fires out, and to help me through that. And you know what? I have made arrangements. My best friend, her husband has a construction company, and I borrowed a little bit of money from her so that I could, again, put out some fires. And understanding that it was going to be difficult for me to pay her back, I was able to pay her back with some of my services. So I used my computer skills and my accounting knowledge. Ironically, yes, I'm really good with numbers. I'm not so good with money. So figure that shit out. Actually, I'm good with money and stuff for everybody else, just not myself. It's kind of like, you know, you're able to give out, you know, the most amazing and incredible advice to, you know, your friends and family and whatnot. But when it comes to actually like taking your own advice, it just doesn't happen. Yes, I am that person. And it's something that I'm working on, but I am that person. So anyways, what I was able to do for her was to, you know, she had said that for the long time she had been wanting to, you know, develop a spreadsheet where she could put all of her payroll information with a running total of year-to-date amounts for, you know, all of the deductions and all of that stuff so that she could basically just sort of take this one document to her accountant with all the numbers and everything like that. I'm like, shit, I can do that. And so I did. So I built that for her and did the inputting for the year for her into that. And I was able to, you know, pay her back that way. So, you know, like there's ways that you can do things so that, because for me, okay, I have a really hard time asking for help. I have an even harder time accepting help, whether it be that I've asked for the help and I'm getting said help, or it's unsolicited help. So I have a very difficult time with that. So for me to be able to not only feel useful and productive, but feel like I earned that money that she lent to me was huge. Because I didn't, and you know what, y'all can roll your eyes and be like, Lisa, you know what, I know, but I didn't have to feel like a charity case. I didn't have to feel like this bum friend who's always, you know, like fucking up and you're having to like fucking clean up the messes all the time. You know, it just, again, it sort of gave me that feeling of accomplishment and that I was actually sort of earning that money. You know, there was an exchange of services for that payment. So without having to, you know, use my phone voice, although that's still an option, still on the back burner. I'm not, you know, counting that out yet. So the next thing that I did was Tate's stepmom had mentioned in a podcast of her own that she, you know, worked with a financial guy that was able to really help her a lot, you know, even just for financial advice with the business that she is running and such. So, you know, I was like, okay, well, I mean, you never know. So I reached out to her and asked whether or not she would be willing to share his contact information, because I'd like to sort of touch base with him and just see if there was anything that he could do to help. So she was kind enough to provide that information and be like, absolutely, sure, no problem. Even got a hold of him ahead of time and just gave him the heads up that she had, you know, given this referral information and stuff, and that I would be contacting him potentially. And normally I am that person that sort of sits on that shit, right? It's like you get that information and then, you know, you've got it written down and it's, you know, say on your counter and you pass it all the time and you kind of look at it and you go, fuck, I should really call. And it's like, oh no, because then I have to like go through all of this stuff. And, you know, understanding that, you know, there's going to be a bunch of work involved because I'm going to have to gather all this information and get all of this stuff together. And, you know, it just all, it just serves to be one more excuse as to why it's just not a good time or anything like that. But in this case, I actually ran with it pretty quickly after getting the information because, like I told now my financial guy as well, I was extremely honest with him and with myself how dire my situation at the time when I reached out to him was. And I did not hold anything back. And I told him straight out, I honestly have no idea how I can afford to pay you because things are that fucking bad. I have things in collections. I am getting calls from creditors. I am, you know, like, I am embarrassed to say all of this stuff, but it's the truth. And I think we've come so far when it comes to, you know, we're really encouraging moms to talk about their emotions, to talk about their mental health, to not be afraid to tell people that, you know, what they're experiencing is more than just the baby blues, to use the D word, you know, that, you know, there is depression and stuff, and moving away from those stigmas. And we've come so far with that, but there's still so many topics that we're still have this shade of shame over them, and they're still taboo. And sucking at your finances is one of them. And I don't know about you, but I grew up in a home that, you know, there are, you know, three things that you never talk about: finances, politics, and religion.
obviously, because once, while they're all very personal choices and stuff, in many cases, people feel very strongly about, you know, whether it be a political party or political views or religious views or whatever, that it can cause, you know, huge arguments and, you know, like ruin friendships and families and stuff, but that's because you let it. But there has been such a shroud of shame that has been placed on finances. And I think, I personally feel like for myself, I can only speak for myself, but I think that probably plenty of moms, people in general, but moms as well out there would agree that because there is this shroud of shame, because there is this stigma about it, you tend to downplay it. You tend to cover it up, which only serves to make it worse. It increases your stress. It fucks with your mental stability, your mental health, your emotional health. And then it starts to have physical effects on you, because financial stress is one of the most stressful things and the leading cause of breakdowns, not only of relationships and marriages and friendships and stuff, but just breakdown in general as far as your mental well-being. And the less we talk about it and the more we cover things up, and this doesn't just go for finances, this is kind of for everything, this is a blanket statement, the worse it gets. We need to be able to be open and talk so that we can get information that can help us. I can only imagine how difficult it was for Janelle to be able to say some of the things that she did in her podcast with regards to finances and things that she's admitted to. Because I know how hard this is for me. I guarantee you, I've probably had that blushing glow the entire recording of this episode, and not, you know, that beautiful blushing, the shame, the embarrassment, because we're not supposed to talk about this. We're not supposed to be bad at this. This is the stuff we're supposed to be good at for some reason, because moms are superhuman. So they are like financial moguls. They are culinary experts. They're organizational, you know, mavens. Like, it's the expectations are so over the top. And unfortunately, we've kind of fed into that by we are supposed to be good at all of this stuff. You know what? Fuck it. We don't have to be good at everything. But that being said, we also don't have to fucking be silent about it either. We don't have to drown in it. And that's what I have been doing, is drowning in it. So I reached out to my nearest and dearest friends, my best friend, and I threw that lifesaver. And she saved me. And then I extended the olive branch and said, I would really like some information on your financial guy, because I really think that he could help me too. And then I pulled my head out of my ass and went, fuck it. And I laid it all out on the line. And it was ugly and embarrassing. And like I said, I told him, I have no idea if I can even afford to pay you for your services and your advice and your help. But I also know I can't afford not to get this help, because I am at a place where I have to seriously consider, like, do I just throw my hands up in the fucking air and claim bankruptcy? Or do it's escaped me. whatever proposal. You know, I had gotten to that point. I was seriously considering getting a hold of an insolvency company and claiming bankruptcy, because I just didn't know what else to fucking do. And my finance guy went, whoa, 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 whoa. Okay. Not gonna lie, this is not pretty.
And I love him for his candor and his honesty. But he's like, it's not pretty. But we don't have to go there. Consumer proposal. Thank you. Sorry. Squirrel. He's like, but we don't have to go to those places yet. We don't have to, you know, walk down those dark hallways yet. Okay. So let's just start from scratch. So as I knew was going to happen, I had from our first meeting that we scheduled together, I spent most of that meeting just sort of talking and admitting to a lot of really crappy decisions and admitting how bad it was, because really at the end of the day, I'm not helping myself if I'm not being honest and giving him what the actual down and dirty numbers are, and they are down and they are dirty. Although I can say in the short time that I've been working with him, they're not that bad anymore. Things are, well, we'll get into that. But I had a lot of homework to do after our first meeting. I had to basically go through, we did January just because December is kind of a write-off with like Christmas and all the extra expenses that normally you wouldn't be spending and stuff. So January, I had to go through everything. Like we're talking all bank statements, because I wasn't good as far as like tracking cash. And I never kept any receipts and stuff because I was like, if I want to know, I'll sign on to online banking and I'll take a look. That'll tell me what my balance is. Gives me everything that I need to know, even though I know that's not the case because there are things that may not have cleared yet. And anyways, so I did the work though. So we got through that point and fuck, I tell you, when you're not actually paying attention and you're not actually like keeping track of like the kind of money that you're spending in January alone. Now, two adults, two children, two dogs. Okay. Our grocery expenses, which included dog food for the dogs, our grocery expenses topped over $1,300. I just about fucking puked. What the fuck are we spending that kind of money for? Honestly. And then we wonder why our fucking debt ratio was like something like 93%, which is unfucking heard of. Yep. I said it, ladies. That's how bad. That's how dire. Before I reached out. Don't do what Lisa does. Just don't. Reach out way before you get to that point. So, but I did. I gathered all that information. I brought everything to the table that he asked me to do. And then we sat and we went through it. And honestly, sitting there and going through it with an external source, even though that's the whole point of reaching out to him, is to get that help, I felt the whole time like he must just think that I am the biggest fuck up ever. And you know what? Here's the deal. If you ever go to a financial planner, a financial advisor, anybody like that, and they do actually make you feel like they are judging you, looking down their nose at you, fire them. Walk the fuck out of that office and find somebody else. Hell, get a hold of me. I will give you my financial guy's information because I am here to tell you. I have never once in any meeting that I have had with him felt judged. I have never felt looked down upon. I have never felt, I mean, who knows? I can honestly say that my read on him is that he wouldn't be like that anyways. But for all I know, he is that good that in the back of his head, he's going, fuck this bitch. Jesus, she's stupid when it comes to finances. But even if he is thinking that, I'm here to tell you, you'd never know it. He has never made me feel judged or
like lesser of a human being just because I can't deal with money shit. Or at least I haven't been able to. So, like I said, if you end up seeing a financial advisor, a financial planner, and at any time they make you feel less than, walk out. Cut your fucking ties. Walk the fuck out. You don't need to fucking have that. Because you know what? You do it enough to yourself. So make sure your first meeting with them, make sure that's an interview for them. Because at the end of the day, they are going to be working for you to help you. So you make sure that you're the right fit. You interview them. Ask questions. And don't be afraid. Because of the fact that you've made it there says that you're brave as fuck. Okay? So just remember that. So my first couple of meetings and stuff with my financial guy has been a lot of homework and stuff. So we first did, you know, like gathering all of the information and going, holy shit. Then it was, you know, generating what I thought might be sort of a workable budget and stuff, you know, putting down what my expenses are going to be and that kind of thing. And I'm still over. I still have more expenses than I do income. Part of that is because I have credit cards and collections, and there's, you know, payments that have to be made and stuff. And once I can get those things cleared and get those things down, then, you know, that's going to make a huge difference. And I, like many, 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 many people, I mean, I'm not stupid. I've been seeing the same 1-800 number calling at different intervals through the day and just looking at it going, I'm at work, can't answer that right now. I'm doing this, can't answer that right now. And because there's no messages left, it's just sort of dead air because obviously they're, you know, doing automated calling and stuff. And then when they hear your voice, that's when they kick in. But, you know, not responding to messages or not calling that number back because there's no message left. You know, like I can find ways to justify shit. I am telling you, I truly can. But that was sort of my next task is I had to get a hold of all of my creditors. Like there's been a lot of work, a lot of work. I have been working with my financial guy now for almost a month, almost. And I have faced a lot more shit in the last month as far as my finances are concerned than I have probably most of, if not all of, my adult life. I have called all of my creditors, made contact with them, explained my situation to them. And, you know, at the end of the day, communicate with your creditors. Communicate with them because they just want their money. And you'd be surprised how willing to work with you they are. Even when really they should be like, fuck you, bitch. We've been trying to call you for like this length of time and you haven't even been answering. And now you're all of a sudden calling and going, oh, I want to make a deal or I want to, you know, work with you. Like, where were you 2 months ago? Where were you 3 months ago? So for all intents and purposes, that's how they could be. But they just want their money. They just want their money. So they're going to work with you. So I guess at the end of the day, what I'm saying is we need to be able to talk about this. This is the next thing that we have to come out of the shadows with. We need to be able to be open with so that we can deal with these things. Because by hiding everything and being embarrassed and being worried about the stigma and everything like that, all we are doing is making our situation worse. I am not a financial expert, clearly, or I would not be in the situation that I am in. I am in no way, shape, or form qualified to give any kind of advice when it comes to finances. All I can say to you is from my own personal experiences and my own personal opinions. We need to stop hiding behind the shame and that old adage of never speak of, you know, politics, religion, and finances. You know what? Fuck it. Talk about it. because you'd be amazed, A, how many people are in those situations as well, but how much information you can actually take from them to be able to go, oh, I can do that? Yeah, you can. Why can we share stories about colic, about breastfeeding, about depression, about, you know, like, and I'm talking severe depression that, you know, years ago, we were all worried. Even now, we still worry, like, how open we should be just in case that one person is listening that's like, oh, maybe they're not fit. Fuck them all. I'm telling you. We need to be able to talk about this. We need to be able to help each other out. We need to be able to lift each other up, be there for one another, give each other advice, send people in the right direction, or at least say, this is what I did. Because you know what? I finally fucking listened to that. I finally asked for help. I finally accepted help. I finally reached out to somebody and said, hey, I would love to get that information. Would you be willing to share? Because I really think that they could help me too. And you know what? All of those actions, I am so grateful for. Because right now, I have a plan. And it's a viable plan. And it's a feasible plan. And it is one that I'm already putting into motion. And with that, I have RRSPs. I have our ESPs started for the kids. Granted, right now, it is through the government grants, and we're just going to, you know, invest in a way that we can get some long-term growth and stuff over them. And then when I can afford to, then I'm going to be contributing to them. My RRSPs that I had through my previous employer with the RRSP matching, we've moved those over. Same idea. Right now, we're just going to let it kind of collect whatever interest it's going to collect. We're going to let it grow however it's going to go. And as soon as I can, I'm going to make contributions to it. I also have a locked in one from my pension that got paid out when I was with Interior Health. So there's all these things that he's like, we can do this. We can work with this. We can do that. And this way we can still have these things available to you. And right now, we don't have to do contributions. Right now, we can just let them do what they're going to do. I'm like, seriously? So I can say to you, I'm still in a fuck ton of debt, but I have RESPs for both of my kids set up. I have RRSPs for myself, in addition to a lump sum of locked in RRSPs from my pension from the hospital, all of which is being invested and let to grow. And that as soon as I can, I will start back with making contributions. The plan that I have in place based on conversations that I've had with my creditors and people, you know, and companies that I owe money to, by this summer, and I'm not talking like, you know, ooh, squeaking into September, maybe even like, no, by mid to end July, I'm going to be good. I may not be, you know, like, walking down the street making it fucking rain, but I'm gonna be okay. Things are gonna be really tight for the next little while, because right now, based on conversations that have been had, all I'm gonna bank on is what I bring in. And that's okay, because you know what, if that's what I need to do, I know that's guaranteed income. And I may have to at some point find a way to generate additional income. So if anybody has any ideas, feel free to hit me up, because right now, especially the last, you know, month, I'm all about accepting suggestions and help and advice and stuff. Like, I am here. I will listen to what you have to say, with the caveat. I am not interested in MLM. I need something that is an actual sort of guaranteed income, because I am not a stay-at-home mom that has a second income, you know, that has a spouse that is bringing in an income and I'm trying to, you know, like add to that and help out with that. I am not in a position of, you know, like full bore. I'm going to like build my legacy for myself and for my family and stuff. I'm not there. I am a full-time working single mom, raising two kids, taking care of two dogs, and trying to take care of myself in the process, that right now is still in a position of my expenses are greater than my income, and I need to add to it. But I need it to be something that is actually going to happen. So, if anybody has any ideas, the further caveat, because you know, whatever, I'm asking for help, but I'm being extremely picky. Well, I'm asking for suggestions, you know, like I'm like, hit me up. But because I have to obviously pay for daycare and everything like that, it has got to be something that I can do from home in the evenings after the kids go to bed, or on weekends when either Tate's at his dad's, or, you know, whatever arrangements ends up happening with Paige and her dad. You know, these are the kinds of things that I'm talking about. So, and I'm broke as fuck, so I can't actually like invest on much of anything. So, you know, but hey, if you meet any of those criteria or have any idea for any of those criteria, let a girl know because I could use the help right now. So anyways, I guess that's it. That's basically what I wanted to say. Do I have all the answers? Fuck no. I'm far from it. Am I open to more ideas and suggestions and thoughts? Fuck yeah. Hit a girl up. I'm telling you, leave a voice message on Instagram. It is nunchucks_and_ponytails. DM me there, send me an email, nunchucksandponytails@gmail.com. Hit me up on Facebook and send me a private message there, Lisa Mahaffey. Do it. Reach out. I'm an open book, and clearly, because I have spent the last, what are we now? We're into our, what is it? This one is our 15th episode, so we're almost 4 months into this. Holy shit. Almost 4 months into this, and I think I've proven that I am pretty much an open book. So, you know, lay them on me, throw some suggestions at me for, you know, making additional income that does not require a investment, that is not an MLM, just because I don't have the skills to do that. I'm going to tell you that right now, and don't come at me with, you know, anybody can do it. I'm sure anybody can, but this person, this body cannot. I don't have the energy. I don't have the brain capacity and just the energy to be able to do that right now. My kids have a lot going on. I have a lot going on, but these are the things. Okay, so takeaways from today, you know, let's just sort of sum this right on up, because, you know, I have gone off on tangents all over the place tonight. Do not be afraid to talk. Talk to your friends, talk to your family, talk to, you know, reach out to somebody that, you know, maybe you've read something or heard something or whatever, and you're just looking for information, something that, you know, maybe they've tried. We have to break the stigma. We have to be able to communicate the same about our financial downfalls the same way that we do in everything else, with our emotional health, with our mental health. We need to be able to communicate, because this is just as detrimental as not being able to speak about our emotions, as to have those stigmas of depression and everything like that. Because I'm here to tell you, this burden of financial debt and significant financial debt is the kind of shit that'll eat at you. It will absolutely eat at you. And I have a lot of work. I do. I still have a ton of work to do, but I have a plan. And like I said, it's viable and it's already in motion. And I can tell you how much lighter I feel now is fucking indescribable, because I don't feel so lost. I don't feel so shameful and embarrassed. I mean, would I want to be going and, you know, with a big old billboard on top of my head
with flashing lights and stuff saying like, I'm a financial fool. Like, not really, but you know what? If it's going to help somebody else come forward, fuck yeah, I'll do it. Bring it on. I will go to the dollar store and I will get some poster board, neon green, neon pink, and I will like walk along the corner of Columbia or of, Columbia and Summit, just like all the other people do on the weekends and stuff when they're protesting and whatnot. And I will say, I'm a financial fool. Ask me how I'm learning, you know, whatever, just something to sort of, you know, not only break the ice, but to help moms especially understand that it's okay. It's okay not to be good at money. It's okay. But you know what's not okay? To bury it, to hide it, to rob Peter to pay Paul, because eventually even that's not going to be enough. Take it from me. Believe me. Reach out. Talk to somebody. Talk to somebody that has any kind of financial knowledge, or somebody who has spoken to somebody that has financial knowledge that might be able to direct you to somebody that could help you as well. It's hard. It's hard to ask for help. It's hard to accept help, and it's hard to put in the work that you have to do. And understand this, you have work to do when you're doing this. But you know what? It's got to be done, because the path that you're on, where is it getting you? Nowheresville. So put in the work. Understand that there is work involved, and you're going to have to put in, and you're going to have to face some hard truths, and you're going to have to reflect pretty fucking deep. And it sucks. But you know what? Fuck it. Who cares? Who cares what anybody else thinks? Because at the end of the day, if you are going to allow yourself to go further into financial ruin because you are worried about what other people are going to think about you, girl, you have got to call me. I'm telling you, you need to get a hold of me. I will give you my cell phone number and we are going to have a chat. Okay? Stop allowing the stigmas of society to destroy us financially, emotionally, mentally, because they're all intertwined. Whether we want to admit it or not, they are. So, reach out. Don't ignore it. And I'm always open for suggestions. Have an amazing, fantastic, wonderful week, everybody. Love hard. Be kind to yourselves. Be kind to each other. And we'll see you back here next week.
Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did. Please make sure to subscribe and follow so you don't miss a single episode. Also, I would really appreciate you leaving a review and rating to help grow the show. And please feel free to share this or any other episode with anyone you think may find value in it. Join me next week for another episode of Nunchucks and Ponytails. Until then, have a great week and we'll talk soon.